U.S. preparing to put nuclear bombers back on 24-hour alert. Who are we going to nuke? Let's find out, shall we? It's the Air Force. The U.S. Air Force is preparing to put armed nuclear bombers back on 24-hour ready alert A status. Ready alert A status not seen since the Cold War ended in 1991. That means the long dormant concrete pads at the end, and this is Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, at the ends of this base's 11,000-foot runway, dubbed the Christmas tree for their angular markings, could once again find several B-52s parked on them, laden with nuclear weapons and set to take off at a moment's notice. Quote, "This is yet one more step in ensuring that we are prepared," close quote, said General David Goldfein, Air Force Chief of Staff, in an interview during his six-day tour of Barksdale's and other U.S. Air Force bases that support the nuclear mission. Quote, "I look at it more as not planning for any specific event, but more for the reality of the global situation we find ourselves in and how we ensure we're prepared going forward," close quote. Now, wait a minute. 17 years into the war on terror, right? Whose sole and explicit purpose was what? Make the world a safer place. Go over there, fight them over there so we don't have to fight them over here, right? Remember, we got to go over there and fight them over there, kill them over there, so we don't have to kill them, fight them over here, right? Going to make the world a safer place. In 2003, we were going to rid the planet Earth Siri just went off. We were going to rid planet Earth of, what did they call them, audience? Help me out here. Weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? Remember? WMD. Weapons of mass destruction. Because remember, the greatest threat to the civilized world, the cause of spending over $1.5 trillion at the time, estimates now are up to $4 trillion. How did George W. Pappy Bush say it? Saddam Hussein. This aggression against the people of Kuwait will not stand. This aggression by Saddam Hussein will not stand, right? Remember? Then the sun came in. We're going to get rid of the greatest threat mankind has ever faced. Saddam Hussein. A tin-horn, goat-herding, womanizing, harem-having military loser. Lee. Who is it? A loser. But he had WMD. And he was the greatest threat to mankind. And we're going to go in there and we're going to get rid of all those WMDs. Because that will make the world a safe place for American forces. You know, to climb Snow Peak Mountains in search of Yetis to destroy. Here we are, 17 years later, or after that one, 13 years later, or 14 years later, and now we have to hire Air Force pilots, make sure that they're retained so that they can be ready to fly B-52 nuclear bomb carrying live missions. Now, if you're going to carry a nuclear warhead, I have to ask the question, who are you going to drop it on? Now, if you're the rest of the planet, isn't that a fair question to ask? Hey, Llama, you know, America, who are you going to drop the nuke on? Oh, we're not going to, we don't intend to drop it on anyone. Now, I must have missed the headline this weekend where it said that Russia and Vladimir Putin were ready to drop nukes on someone. Did you see that headline? I must have missed it, but it had to have been out there. The Russians must have marshaled all sorts of their B-52 equivalent planes, must have them at the end of a runway somewhere, must be loading them up with nuclear weapons, and must be getting ready to fly. You know, it's kind of like the scene in The Wizard of Oz. Fly, my pretties, fly! Well, we're going to fly, my pretties, fly B-52 bombers with nukes on them. But nobody bats an eye. Mr. Church, please. We are very responsible when it comes to nuclear weapons. Sure we are. There's only been two nuclear devices detonated in the history of mankind. Gee, I wonder who detonated those. The president has asked for an additional $150 billion for each of his 4 years coming up to do what? Expand the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex can't spend the money it has now. Oh, and add to all this, while we're busy bombing the world into safety, invading the world into making it a safer place, threatening to nuke it to make it a safer place, we have veterans returning home, as we learned on last Monday's show, with burn pit syndrome, who we refuse to care for. We have veterans that return home from the first Gulf War with Gulf War syndrome, radiation poisoning, who we refused to care for until very recently. But by all means, let's stand with our little hands over our hearts and pledge allegiance and honor America's military. And this is the worst part. And the politicians, the political class that directs it. We are being set up and gamed unlike any other set up and game in the history of the world. I tell you what, I was reading about the difference between freedom and slavery on Saturday. And if you're watching this on YouTube, this is what I was reading. It's a Ignatius Press edition of The Great Heresies by Hilaire Belloc. And if you get to the end of the chapter called What Was the Reformation? Towards the very end, Belloc discusses slavery and how it is that people believe that they're free when, in fact, they're not. And that there are two ways to implement slavery. There is the soft oppression of capitalism, and then there's the hard oppression of the state. And Belloc says that, or writes in the book, that the West, and that, now he was writing this in the mid-1930s before the Second World War. Belloc says, and this is just incredible, that, I mean, if you read this book today, if you read the chapters on the Reformation and then the modern phase today, this reads like prophecy. Every single thing Belloc said could happen, has happened in the Christian Western world. So he writes about slavery. And the conclusions that he comes to, I mean, I was reading this going, and I'd never read the, I think I read the chapter on Mohammedism before, but I never read the chapter on slavery as I read it this, on Saturday. Under some of your orders, I ventured to try and rest up a little bit on Saturday. And in doing so, I said, well, what am I going to read? So I spent 4 hours on Saturday morning researching and then writing a piece that you can find at MikeChurch.com called The Magnificent Story of St. Ursula and the 11,000 Virgin Martyrs. Celeste, if you're listening, you will find lots of homeschooling material and excitement in that story. As a matter of fact, the story was, I could have kept writing. And then yesterday, which was formally the feast day, because Saturday was St. Ursula Day, yesterday was formally Mary Salome. Mary Salome has been moved to May the 23rd, concurrent with St. Mary Salome, with Mary Magdalene. And there's a reason for that, and I think that the reasoning is incorrect, historically speaking. But some people still recognize October the 22nd. But I was researching, so Saturday morning, I spent telling a story about the 11,000 virgin martyrs. Just the most incredible piece of historical fact-finding that I think you could ever, you could pick so many saints that had mysterious lives, like Christopher's namesake, St. Christopher. You know, the Novus Ordo Church basically kicked St. Christopher out of the canon. Well, we don't have enough extant material to prove that he was actually a dude. So if you named your kid Christopher after St. Christopher, you can keep the name, but we're not recognizing him as a feast day anymore. Which, 1700 years of church tradition, and you're just going to say, because we don't have a piece of paper that has Christopher written on it and a story, that it wasn't true, it didn't happen. Pretty much the same way with St. Ursula. They kicked her out in the Novus Ordo reforms in the late 60s, early 70s, too. Took it with what used to be a major saint holiday or feast day, and incorporated it into another one. Ah, nothing to see here, citizen, move along. Well, tell the people of Ursula Ajers in Germany or Cologne, Germany, that.